What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Christus Elms, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What's up? Good to be back. It's playoff season, playoff episode numero uno. How are you? Have you recovered from the late night, which we will get into?
No, I have not recovered.
Were you also feeling it today?
No, not really. Honestly, no.
That's good.
Before we hop into anything, yeah. they just showed you probably saw it, the little clip of Corey Perry. This is his third time, or like he played Tampa
in the last 2 years.
Yeah, last 2 years and got eliminated. So
Dallas and Montreal in the Cup final. Mm-hmm. He pulled a double Marian Hossa from back in the day. Yeah, where Hossa lost to the Penguins and then he joined the Penguins.
Yeah, yep. Kind of crazy, but I mean, Hossa got his cup, so I'm feeling good. I wasn't feeling banged up or anything today. So
what time game ended at? What, like 12:45? I think that was nuts. Something
was
like that.
Was it that late? I thought it was like 11:45.
Was it that early? Really? Maybe.
Maybe I don't know. I don't remember.
I can tell you right now because Tommy had texted us right as it ended. Dang it. I feel like it was right around midnight then, maybe.
It was close to midnight, I think.
It was 11:52 p.m. So it wasn't as late as I thought, but still.
Brutal. I don't know if you want to talk about any of the other playoff stuff before we hop into that game. But, yeah, that's kind of the
– I feel like we can talk about that after. We can do the Rangers first. That's what we're here for. We're Rangers Isles pod.
It was –
crazy start.
Crazy start. Overall feelings on the game before I dive into anything. Obviously, it did not end the way that I would have liked it to have ended. It was a gut punch. It honestly, like everyone's asked how I feel, how like I've been feeling today, and I was like, it felt like in the moment, like as soon as I didn't say anything for like 5 to 10 minutes after the game had ended, I was texting people like I just feel gutted, like I just feel like I got punched in the stomach.
Like at the end of the live stream, you were like, just see you Thursday. And then it signed off because I was watching I'm watching on cable. So I'm like a good, I think it was about 10 to 12 seconds before you. So I was just like, just waiting for the reaction.
I was watching it live too. I think the stream might have been delayed because I was watching live too.
Yeah. But you're going to be devastated no matter how that ends. I've seen the Islanders have never got to three. They got the double OT, and I think they only lost once when I was watching. They've won a couple of double OT ones, but triple OTs, that's rough.
You want to know why it hurt is because, and a lot, and some people are arguing that it should have been over. Some people say just what happened and had the goal being overturned, and we'll jump into that. But watching that happen and just like feeling the elation of like, oh my God, like exactly what I was telling people watching it with me here. I was like, the Rangers are, this is how this game's going to end. It's going to be tight most of the third period. The Rangers are going to get a goal, the go ahead goal with like 3 minutes left, which is like 3:10 with on the clock.
You're pretty close.
And I'm like, and then they're going to make you sweat it out. They're going to look like shit.
Of
Pittsburgh's
going
to get 25 shots off again in the last 3 minutes of the game. Yeah, it's going to just be an absolute sweat fest. We're going to be sweaty. And it just wasn't the case.
It's a tough call. It was a tough call. I think it was the wrong call.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a little surprised that you're saying it's the wrong call, because I thought you would be leaning more towards it was the right call just because it's always fuck the Rangers. But
I hate the Rangers, but I think it was the wrong call. But the only thing I disagree with, I don't think there's any like fix in. Like, I don't think anybody's like, oh, the Penguins have to win. But I think if you look at the way Kako was gliding to the side, I don't know if he would have hit him as bad if Dumoulin did it.
No, and that's the thing. Like, and I've gone kind of like back and forth with how I've been feeling about it all day, because I think Johnny Lazar or something. Johnny Lazarus. He's like some college player. I think the Rangers signed.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's from. They signed him from like UMass or something. He's been watching. He was tweeting all about it, and he was like, you know, his initial stance was, it's a 50-50 call. And he goes, if you're a Penguins fan, you're happy that that got called back because you would have hated to lose. But it's also the same. The shoe is on the other foot. You would have been destroyed if you're a Rangers fan, and yeah. your goalie gets trucked like that, and you lose that way. Like you're saying, though, there's once you slow the footage down, you watch it a few times, you could see Kako's lead skate, which is his left skate. It was already turned. He would have been, I think, right on the doorstep.
It would have been close.
He would have been really close. Like,
could he have hit him?
100%. I think the speed he was going and the way he was turning, there is still a very good chance that he would have made contact with him, but just like grazing him, because he would have just jumped up to the top of the crease.
I think he didn't get the chance.
No, he didn't get a chance because Dumoulin put his, and you could see as soon as Dumoulin, because if you watch, there's another view, cameras from behind, from more so.
Oh, really? Dumoulin's angle. I didn't see that.
As soon as Dumoulin puts his right shoulder into Kako's back, Kako's right leg buckles. Like, he was not ready for that. So that's why he kind of lost his edge at that point. And he made contact with DeSmith, but I've watched this clip a few times, and I mean, I might be wrong here, but to me, and I said it last night, I was like, Dumoulin made more contact with DeSmith and is the one that took him out of the play. Kako hit him, but Dumoulin was the one that really like took him out of play where he couldn't even make the play. Overall, you know, it's one of those things where it's a 50-50.
Nobody's happy. No matter which way it goes, somebody's going to be pissed off.
My only complaint about it is because like you can't do anything about it now is that like I just don't think the NHL has clear like rules or a clear vision of what goaltender interference is and why. I'm sorry, you made a face.
Nice goal.
And I was like, yeah, I was like,
you knew, okay,
there,
yep,
there we go.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was waiting for it to happen.
I was like,
yeah, there's no clear rule. There's not.
There's just like no clear like rule or like just clear distinction of like what goaltender interference is, and like the call on the ice, the guy, the ref standing directly behind the goal called it a good goal immediately, and I think the rule is you need to have clear and discernible evidence that he could not have made a play, and that Kako would have hit him, and it wouldn't have been a no goal, and all this stuff. Like,
yeah,
I just think it's a tough call, and a lot of people. And again, Kako, he was kind of, yes, he had his lead foot turning, but he was still on a path where he could have possibly hit him. We're talking about possibilities at this point. I don't think that should be why that goal gets called back. It should be. It didn't happen. The only reason he made contact was because Dumoulin pushed him into his goaltender.
Yeah.
So
I think it could be a totally different conversation. I think you're totally right. Like we said at the start, like I don't like the Rangers, but like you gotta be unbiased. And I was happy about it last night just because like, oh, it gets good OT. But I mean, you're right. They're just like, I feel like it was speculation that Kako was gonna hit him. He did hit him, pushed by Dumoulin, but like, who knows if he would have hit him necessarily.
Exactly. You can't play this. Oh, what? It could have happened. A lot of things could happen. I could win $1 million tomorrow. I'm not going to.
I wish.
But, you know, but like, and then I saw clips of, and it's just like, I'm not putting my tinfoil hat on saying like there's a clear agenda against the Rangers. But then again, I saw a clip, I think it was this year, or it was this year or last year. Igor's in net. I mean, and he just gets pounded by two guys from Florida. I mean, like to the point where they pushed him to the ground and the puck went in and they were like, goal stands. Good goal.
Different circumstances, like, though. That one's tough. I understand what you mean, but yeah, there's definitely no fixing.
I'll send you the clip after. It's clear, like, it is just almost an assault on him. Like, I'm like, this should not have counted.
That's the problem with the rule. It's just like, I don't think there's any way to combat it.
There's no consistency.
Because there's no, I'm trying to think what the word I'm looking for is. There's no, like, there's no set rule. It's very subjective based on what the boardroom in Toronto thinks. Like, it's not the refs on the ice necessarily. It's the up in Toronto, which is, you know, like, oh, if somebody gets slashed, that's a slash. A hook is a hook. A trip's a trip. But, like, goal interference is just like, oh, just a bunch of dudes in a room just trying to figure it out. Like, that's the problem with the rule, I think. Which is nothing you can do about it, I don't think, which is the problem with it. Because like you said, Igor got hit down that one time and they didn't call it, but then this time they do call it. It's just, it's unfortunate.
And just to, I mean, you brought up the refs. Terrible. The Rangers played really good hockey for about 20 to 25 minutes yesterday. And that's about it. Outside of that, they didn't look that great. But the refereeing was atrocious. And I think it's fair to say that the Rangers did not play a great game, but the refereeing was also terrible. Because two things can be true. They don't necessarily both have to be, holy shit.
Yeah, I know, right? That was a close one.
I mean, and I was talking to my dad about it today because he was like, "What did you watch the whole thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, unfortunately." He's like, "What were your thoughts on everything?" And I'm like, I was like, "You mean to tell me that both these teams played almost 2 hours of hockey, and one team committed 4 penalties? I think 5 at one point." And the other team only committed 1 within the first 10 minutes of the game. They went a full 80 minutes after that and didn't do anything. When you're watching them play and you know, and I looked today too. They were the second least penalized team in the league this year. The only team that was penalized less than them were the Stars. That was the only team. It was the Stars, then the Penguins. And the Rangers are like a middle-of-the-pack team. They're not like they get calls here and there, but they're not as egregious. A lot of the teams that are in the playoffs, believe it or not, like right now, like top seeds like Florida, Tampa, Colorado, like they get they get penalized a lot. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. But I just think when you have one of the best coaches in the league saying something about it, you watch the games, the statistics are there, you could just look it up, it's all online, it's tough to like make the
nice shot by Kucherov.
Also I tweeted for my personal account today, if you don't follow my personal account, you should. Kevin, you could back me up on this, and our friend Packet back me up on this. Tampa Bay is a lock of the century. You should have put the house on it. And granted, there's still a lot of hockey left, but 2-goal lead right now.
Still a lot of hockey to go.
Yeah. I just think I don't know. I don't want to say
that's the one thing I don't buy personally. I don't think there's any bias. No,
I'm not trying to say there's like an agenda or anything. I think when you're refereeing a game, you want to try to call it as fair as possible. And I mean, they've come out and said it, like they you know, when you fuck up one call, you give it back to a team, or you try to give it back to them because you're like, you know what, Peel, I fucked up. Yeah.
Sorry,
like,
buddy.
Yeah. I watched all that game, and there was one, you know, the Trouba boarding penalty. That was a bad penalty to take.
Yeah.
But the Lindgren one, I was like,
it got reduced though from a major. It got reduced,
but I'm just like, it's, I don't know. Like,
it was a penalty. Like,
I don't know. I think interference is like what I think they ended up going with, which I'm like, that's fine. Because I think initially they went with roughing, and I'm like, that's a fucking terrible penalty. I'm like, because he just fucking hit him. He just followed through this hit, and a little bit of his shoulder clipped his chin. It was not like he went for his chin. Most of that hit was in his chest. He just followed through and went with his chin, hit his chin too. So, I mean, I don't think there's an agenda, and I'm not blaming the refs for why the Rangers lost. The Rangers lost because the Rangers didn't play well enough to beat Pittsburgh in any of the periods they played. But the refereeing was still atrocious. It just seemed like it was very one-sided, which it was.
I saw a stat today that also said, I thought it was kind of interesting, just about the whole one-sidedness, that Shesterkin saved 4.5 goals above expected in that game.
Yeah.
He made what, 78 saves, which is the second most in NHL history?
I think 79.
Yeah. I think Korpisalo in 2020 against the Lightning had 85. But I mean, yeah, like you need – that's a time where you need the Rangers to step up and have their big guns I mean, then again, like they scored three goals. That's pretty good. That'll probably win you a lot of games. But I think Igor is just like really just batting way, I'm not going to say way above his average, but it's obviously way above league average. You need to get him some help. I mean, these aren't the old Rangers where they don't have a superstar scorer. They need Panarin to step up, but I mean, he played off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of guys yesterday. You know, Mika doesn't let that first goal in because that was a defensive breakdown by him. The defensemen were doing their jobs, and he was supposed to pick Gensel up. And by the time he realized that he needed to pick Gensel up, Crosby had already put the puck on Gensel's tape. And people were like, "Oh, the tides are turning." And I'm like, "Yeah, Pittsburgh's looked better at that point in the period." But I'm like, Gensel's a fucking scrub if he misses a shot when he's at the top of the crease and no one's on him. I'm like,
that was a hell of a play.
It was a great pass, but I'm just like, if he misses that shot, he's a scrub.
He's not gonna miss that. Yeah, I mean, definitely a bit too many breakdowns. I mean, I don't know, there's so many. That's the fun of the playoffs, right? You get to analyze every single play. I mean, I thought that even like when Louis Domingue comes in, like you probably gotta find a way to push and end it at some point, right?
Like, they should have. I mean, like,
that was crazy. For those who don't know, Pittsburgh's goalie in double overtime, a bit late in double overtime, cramped up something, lower body injury. I don't know what it was, but he had to leave the game. And they're back.
I think Domingue's going to start tomorrow.
Yeah, they called up Diorio.
They're going to be ready,
which is nuts. I mean, that's a must win game. You're at home.
But here's the thing. I honestly, and you had asked me today if I've put any money on the game last night, and I didn't. And I was like, I don't want to risk it. But it's like, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, if the Rangers are typically a very good team coming off of a loss. I don't think they had many back-to-back losses this season, and especially with, you know, you're leaving New York, you don't want to leave New York down 2-0.
No.
Because the next time you come to New York, you might not even potentially come back to New York.
So even if you split in Pittsburgh, you got to win three straight, which is
two straight.
A tall task. If you split in Pittsburgh, now you got to win 5, 6, 7.
Well, if they stop. Oh, okay. If they don't.
I see the confusion. Yeah.
If they split, no, I'm like, they don't. But yeah, if they lose tomorrow, yeah, you gotta split Pittsburgh and then win out the rest of the series, which is a tall order. But yeah, I think tomorrow is an absolute must win for the Rangers, and I think they could win if they just tighten up the defense. Because you know what, they looked really good in that first period. They come out and it's like I don't
emotions are high,
and I think a lot of guys just had the yips and stuff and they weren't, you know, they were excited to play and maybe a little too excited and they were just overthinking things. It's like the playoffs, from what I've observed the last few years, you have to play smart, and you have to work hard, you have to play hard, but you don't want to overthink things. You don't want to overcomplicate things. You want to keep things simple, but make smart plays and just make sure you're doing all the right things. And I think the Rangers were doing a lot of the right things yesterday. In that first period, they came out fast, they came out aggressive. And after the first period, I was like, if they can just keep playing this way, they're going to win this game because they just looked like a better team. And then Pittsburgh was unfazed by what had happened in the first period and completely came out and dominated the Rangers in the second period.
That's the thing. I think that's a great point because you look at Pittsburgh roster, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Dumoulin, Rust, Lewis Boyle, the list goes on and on.
Even Gensel at this point.
Gensel at this point, Zucker. And then the Rangers, you know, you got like Lindgren, Lafreniere, Kako, Hedo.
There was a lot of guys in the Rangers. It was their first playoff game.
That's the thing. I think that experience plays a huge factor in the playoffs. And I think that it's probably, like you said, a bit of first game jitters, but the Penguins have been there a lot of times. They know how to clamp it down. They know when to rise up to like the big moment and really shut things down, like they kind of did in the second and third period to a sense. I mean, it was still pretty even, but I think Pittsburgh definitely had the advantage after that opening 20 from what I saw. I didn't catch the first period, but experience plays a huge factor. And I know that Crosby-led teams aren't going to back down, but I think as the series goes on, that a team as skilled as the Rangers will find their way as they get more comfortable.
Yeah, it just looked like the Rangers during the second period felt like I don't even know. Like it's just like they're not a very good second period team. They haven't been all year. And mm-hmm. last year it was just like last night it was just like an absolute crumble.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing to watch, especially after the way they played that first period. I mean, like they dominated that first period. I mean, like they outshot the Penguins. They were faster than the Penguins. They were more aggressive than the Penguins. And again, that's why the loss hurts as much as it did, as much as it does, because they looked so good, and then it just all like I don't want to say they blew their load too early, but it felt like they did almost, because it was like they came out too quick, too hard, too fast, and it was just like,
yeah, they're also juiced up being at home, probably.
Yeah,
that's probably a factor of it.
You need Panarin to show up tomorrow. You need Zibanejad to tighten it up. You need Kreider had a 6 shorthand.
Kreider played good. I thought he was one of the more noticeable veteran forwards of the Rangers.
I thought there was a lot of good, and I think the Rangers' attitude. A lot of the guys today, Gallant just told the team, they were like, what do you tell your team after a loss like last night? He just said, move on.
Yeah.
Next game. And Adam Fox said the same thing when they asked him today. They had asked him, how is the team, what are you guys doing? What's the vibe, the feeling in the locker room? He's like, we're just preparing for game 2. It's already behind us. We shouldn't be dwelling on it. We know what we did correctly. We know what we did incorrectly. You just need to fix the things you did wrong and then just play our game 2. So I'm expecting Rangers W tomorrow. I think,
Against Louis Domingue. I mean, yeah. God can only hope. Him and his, his spicy sausage in between the second and third overtimes. I mean, I can't believe they won that game with him.
Can't lose to a guy who makes TikTok videos about his cooking.
His cooking does look quite good, though.
It does, but fuck that shit.
No,
you gotta win that game. Yeah, that's. I don't want to say it's a.
No, it kind of is. At home against a third string, probably should be like, I don't want to downplay the guy. He's in the NHL. I mean, he's had some good years, but he's probably over his peak now. Like when you're at home, you got to win that game, especially after dropping the first one. Which I don't know. I think they probably will, but time will tell. Depends how they come out. It's very interesting.
And just one thing before we move on. I think for, at least for me, there is already a villain in this series, and it's Jake Guentzel. I can't stand him. I haven't been able to stand him for a really long time, probably since I started watching this team more in depth. And I think he was
probably when he broke into the league.
Yeah, so like for about like 6-7 years now, he is someone that just gets under my skin. I hate his face. I hate his name. I hate the way he plays.
He's been around. He has been around for 6 years. Damn. Time really flies, man. That's nuts.
I just don't like him. And he seems like he's going to be the villain of this series, because he just seems like he wants to talk shit and get under everyone's skin, which is needed. You need people like that. But
yep, that's how you win.
But you know what? And that's fair. I'm glad the Penguins have that kind of guy on their team, but I'm allowed to hate on him as much as I want. If he can be the player he is and as good as he is, because he is good, I'll give him that.
He's very good.
And I said some things that I might not have meant yesterday, saying he on any other team he'd be a third liner at best. Do I think that's true? Maybe. Who knows?
probably not. Maybe a second liner. I think he's a very good second liner. First liner, probably not, but
yeah. Yeah, the only place on the first line is play with fucking Sydney.
It works, though.
Exactly. It's like,
okay, also, Ryan Strome plays on the first line because he plays with Panarin, to be fair. And like how.
He plays on the second. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Ryan Strome only looks.
Is that the second line, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's Zibanejad, Kreider, and Vetrano are first line. Strome, Panarin, and.
That's on me?
Yeah.
Hand up.
Strome's a second liner. and he's gonna lose that job to Cop, dude.
Facts. Also, just one last thing before we move on to whatever else. Even though it did not count, I just want to point out that pass Kaapo Kakko made from the ground. Fantastic.
He looked so good last night, and it made me feel really good because he was the best player on the ice during the play-in series. So the fact that he's looking this good in his like first official playoff game, and Hedo looked good. Hedo was begging for one last night. He had a ton of chances. Laugh looked good. He was just running and gunning around the ice. That kid line, I think, is going to be special during the series. But yeah, Kako looks cool, calm, and collected, which is exactly what you need from the young king himself.
There you go. Yeah, here's my theory that I was honestly thinking of yesterday when I was watching the game, because I did notice that. I noticed he was looking pretty good, and I knew you'd be happy about it. I think it's kind of like the Islanders. It kind of reminds me of them. They have a lot of bigger bodies. They can grind you down. They're good along the boards. But does that kind of play translate to an 82-game regular season? Not necessarily, but not in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, I think it probably does because it's bigger, it's more open. But the playoffs, I think that's a place that he's going to thrive just because it's a more physical game. He's, what, 6'4"? He's a big guy. He can, like I say, he can really kill you on the boards. He's going to win a lot of board battles. He can bring up the energy. I think that plays well into the playoffs rather than the regular season. Not that the Islanders don't have good regular season guys and that Kako's can't be a good regular season guy, but I just think that the playoffs is like, that's the type of game that like he's built for.
And he's great along the boards. I mean, like, yeah, exactly. During the regular season, he's up against the boards. Like, I'd rather have him on my team than anyone else he's going up against because he loves playing up against the boards. I don't know why. He's that's really a tough sneaky. Skill to have. That's yeah, a he's really, really sneaky. Really good player to have. He can really juke you. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm confident for game two, but it's a must win for the Rangers, especially when Domingue is a nut. You need to shut them down early. You need to kind of almost demoralize Pittsburgh, not piss them off to the point where they, you know, if you're up 4-0 at the end of one, like they come back and put 5 on you in the second period.
That'll not be great.
No, but you need to just. You need to give yourself enough breathing room because I feel like the Rangers had breathing room, and then anytime they came back, the Penguins knew how to just put their foot on their throat.
Yep, that's the experience.
Yeah,
but yeah, good stuff.
Those are my thoughts. In terms of just jumping into
around the league,
some other stuff around the league. Just briefly, so like we said, Tampa's now up 3-1. Looking better. The second period, this period's almost over. You got about 4.5 left. First game was embarrassing for Tampa. It was just bad.
I wish they would have played like that against us. But I mean, to Toronto. I mean, they played great. They looked great. I don't know what was wrong with Tampa that game, but I think they probably just needed that, like, I think it was a small version of, like, remember when they got punked by Columbus 4-0 in the series? I think it was like a small version of that.
But someone said that Tampa played the exact same game, like almost to a T, against the Islanders last year. Like Tampa, I think, blown out in game one. And like the Islanders, I think, like,
we didn't blow them out in game one. But we definitely played well against them in game one. Killed I do remember them that.
Game one. And then.
I watched from Hilton Head last year, and that was, I think, the time you did a solo podcast. But I do remember them. We played a good game in game one, so we all know how that series turned out. So I think Tampa will be fine. I picked them to win the cup, so I don't know.
That's a good pick to make. It's hard to go against the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs.
I don't want to hear it. I saw the graphic there. That I tweeted it out. It was like, oh, who won the cup this year? And I saw Tampa as the last 8 years. I want to cry. I want to actually cry. Who'd you pick again to win the cup? Calgary?
Florida.
Fair. That was a big upset. Florida.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It is another one of those experience versus non-experience things, I think. Florida will be fine.
Yeah, we'll just jump to that. I'm not too worried about Florida. I think Capitals just got a goal towards the end there and ended up winning that game. I think Florida, though, is still just an out match for them. One other – Boston might be
cooked. Speaking of out matches, yeah, geez, man. I think Boston losing – yeah, they're cooked, like you said. I think them not having David Krejci is just like a massive loss that nobody really realizes. He was really freaking good.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't, I mean, like, do I think Patrice Bergeron is going to leave after the season? No, but like, I don't know. Can they afford him? What's that deal look like? But it, you have to think, if he does leave Boston, right?
Mm.
He's a UFA this summer. Another guy who is kind of pivotal to the success of Boston and kind of makes or breaks if the Bruins, how they play the next probably decade or at least like 8 years, is David Pastrnak, who's a UFA next year.
Is he a UFA next year? I thought he signed an extension.
I saw a – I mean, he might have, but I saw someone on Twitter say that Pastrnak is a UFA in 2023. I can't confirm or deny whether that's
true. I'm looking up right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it is true, that's fucked.
The Bruins – is he? No way. He is. No way this guy's a UFA next year. What?
So, I mean, if we're in a world where if Patrice Bergeron goes away and then Boston keeps playing, they get eliminated first round, they don't do anything over the summer, Bergeron is out, Marchand, you don't know how much time he's got left, you only have McAvoy and really Marchand at that point, or and Pasta. What's keeping Pasta there?
You're right. I didn't realize he was a UFA so soon.
Let's start pumping the Pasta to the Islanders train. I saw Friedman.
That's summer content, baby. Let's fucking go.
Get your tinfoil ready. I saw Friedman basically posted in his 31 Thoughts a couple weeks ago that I don't think Bertrand's going to leave, but he said it's like a year-to-year thing now, and it could even be as soon as this offseason that he calls it quits.
Oh, my God. Dude, yeah, imagine he retires.
They would be in some serious trouble. There'd be some serious trouble.
They'd be fucked,
dude. Pastrnak, oh, man, we're both gonna be pumping the Pastrnak to New York train.
Oh, man, dude, yeah. So Pasta's I saw it and I was like, I need to bring this up on pod because if like Boston's being embarrassed right now. They're losing 4-1 going into the third period.
They don't look good at all. I think they're over the hill. I mean, I think they're still good, but not Stanley Cup contenders.
You know what the worst part is? I think I said to you, I was like, you know, I think I might have just texted it to you. I was like, you know, if Boston could just out-muscle.
I thought it was going to be a good series too. I thought it was going to go six. We both said six. Like, Boston, we they're not bad. They played really good at the end of the year. They're a sneaky
team. They always play better than you think.
Credit to Carolina, I guess.
Jeez. We'll talk about this briefly. If the Oilers lose tonight, are you worried if you're an Oilers fan?
Oh, for sure.
Because if I'm an Oilers fan and the Oilers lose tonight, because they're playing at home, so you have to go to LA now.
Yep.
And play the next two games. If they get bounced out of the first round,
oh, it'd be hilarious.
We might be living in a world where either they decide to blow it up and like Draisaitl trade something. It somewhere, or they don't blow it up and McDavid this summer goes, get me the fuck out of here. I don't care what you have to do. I need to be somewhere else besides here.
I mean, what an embarrassment that play by Mike Smith at the end of game one was. That was literally one of the worst plays I've ever – you played NHL 22. I tweeted out. You ever know when you play the puck with the goalie, you try to sky it up,
and it just goes
on the ice? That's exactly what that reminded me of. I mean, why is he handling the puck? There was a screenshot. I don't know if you saw this. There were two Oilers players in the corner.
Yeah, where his sight line, where he was literally looking and saw two guys open, and then he just was like, fuck it, and threw it out.
Like, what are you doing?
And then made a great save.
Great save. Fantastic save.
Like, he at least made up for it, and then just like his puck just dribbled in 2 seconds later. I was like, oh my God, dude.
That was so bad. But
fucking brutal.
If the Oilers lose, it's tonight, right? I think they play tonight.
They play tonight at 10, yeah.
They're in some serious trouble. You're right.
And, I think you were shocked when I told you I went to St. Louis. I mean, they pumped Minnesota that first game.
Yeah, bro, I love St. Louis as a team, but I thought Minnesota was gonna. I thought this was Minnesota's year. I had them in the Cup final.
But it all goes back to experience too. Like a lot of that St. Louis team. You got Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, and I mean, we'll talk about it just because he was a. And I think we both are in agreement here.
Yeah,
Spurgeon should have got a fucking game, man. Dude, that was bad. You know what? That's an easy because I feel like Department of Player Safety and George Parros get a lot of shit, especially from me. I fucking hate both those entities. But like that's a layup. That's a layup of a penalty to give out, and you only like
that's crazy.
How is the intent to injure not clear to like? Because everyone watching it all was like, he's trying to break his fucking ankles, and I get it. I tweeted, I was like, his wires were crossed. It's the playoffs. Yeah, I understand that it happens, dude. But you gotta get penalized for that.
You gotta crack down. You
can't let that happen. You gotta let him know. Hey, we get it. It's the playoffs, and you were and you're down 4-0 with a minute and a half to go. But it's like he could have seriously fucking hurt him. Like
he could have broken both of his ankles. And Bush, I don't know if Bush just didn't realize what was going on. He's like didn't.
He just turned around and was like, "What the fuck?"
That was really bad. I can't. I'm surprised he didn't get something for it. He got a $5,000 fine. Like.
Which is like, it's a drop in the bucket compared to, for like what these guys make and everything. It's just a drop in the bucket.
I was about to do the math about what it would be for us, but I don't want to reveal my salary, so we're not going to do that. Somebody's going to do the math. But yeah, I mean, that was really bad. But yeah, credit to you. I mean, St. Louis, I think that was the toughest series to predict in the playoffs, in my opinion.
That was a series I didn't get to
that's
watch.
That's got some juice.
I didn't really get to watch any of game one, but I'm excited that I'm not doing anything and I can watch game two because
it starts in what, like 10 minutes, right? I think
holy
so.
Holy shit, it's already 9:15. It's already 9:18. Jesus Christ. I'll probably, that game will probably start in the next like 25, 30 minutes.
It's on after Boston, Carolina. So,
yeah. So, I mean, like,
how much time does that game have left? Let's see. That game has,
I think a third's it's just starting.
Wow, sick timing, ESPN. You guys really nailed that one, huh? Jesus. Well,
I mean, their start times are never – I mean – oh, also, did you know that I totally forgot about this in the TV deal. Why no, – like, I was like, why isn't TNT getting any games? The way the TV deal works – no, they ESPN and them switch every year. I totally forgot about that. And
what a sham.
Someone told that to me yesterday, and I was like – holy shit, now that you said that, like, yeah, that makes
sense. I remember
reading this now. Yeah, they're going to switch every year. And I'm
what
like,
a sham.
It sucks because TNT is just a better broadcast. I'm like, this one sucks.
People, I think that's like a bad deal for ESPN because people are going to watch the playoffs next year and be like, oh, this is so much better. Like, I'm not going to name names. Some of the announcers, particularly doing the series that is in the second period right now, is not great. I don't enjoy him whatsoever, but. I know that's a bad deal.
I'll
text you after. Yeah, but
the guy doing color or
play by play.
Okay, because I was gonna say, I don't mind Messier and Chelios.
No, I don't mind.
I think that's Steve Levy with them. He fucking sucks, dude.
I don't mind Steve Levy. I think he's all right.
I don't mind him on ESPN.
I don't like
I feel like he's
that's
very
a popular for some people. That's a popular opinion.
I've seen that a lot. I haven't watched a ton of
it's bad.
Booch. It's bad. Yeah. I you know what I've heard the biggest complaint is that like and I think it's one thing when he's just like tweeting it online and stuff and it's like a clear joke, but it's like the guy's in his like mid to late fifties, maybe even early 60s, and he's just talking like some kid playing like Bantam.
In like Minnesota. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not great, but oh well.
Speaking of
not great, how about the Nashville Predators? They are they're dead in the water, which I don't blame them because Saros is out, but my God, that was embarrassing.
Oh my God, dude. We're watching I mean, obviously I was live streaming, but like, just like looking up in the corner, they got, the score of the other games going on, and I'm like, fucking Nashville's down 4-0 and it's the first period.
It was like the first 10 minutes. It was so bad.
Oh my God, man. They got fucking crushed.
My boy scored. Devon.
I heard Devon.
Brutal.
Yeah. Kinnan got one. Devon got one. Cogniano got one. McCarr got one. Lekkonen got one. Landeskog got one. McKinnon got one. McKinnon got another.
I mean, who would Colorado play? Oh, they played the winner in Minnesota.
Wow, the Flames
St.
game was way closer than it probably should have
been. Yeah, they were out shooting them 9-0 in the first like five. Whoa! Oh my God, Svechnikov and somebody just murdered each other. McAvoy, they just ran into each other and just like clipped each other.
Let me go back to ESPN.
But Calgary was out shooting Dallas like 9-0 early, and they got a goal.
And then after that, it was just like, I didn't watch
show,
it, but
show a replay, you cowards.
You see McAvoy like,
yeah, like I see him kind of hunched over.
But yeah, that series is it's. I don't think it's going to be necessarily close, but oh, here we go. They're about to show the replay.
Little neon knee action. Yikes.
Yeah, I was a little.
Svechnikov's a little dirty. I shouldn't even say little. He likes.
I don't think he meant that one. That one looked like he just turned, but yeah, he is a bit. He's always been a bit dirty. That'd be a big loss.
That'd be a huge loss for them. That's if McAvoy were to not play again the rest of the series. I mean, fucking just you might as well just pack
wave
it
the white flag. Yeah,
yeah. Good. Like I would just if I was the front office of the Bruins, I would have just been like, if McAvoy was done, I'm like, hey, can we just not play anymore? Like we'll just give you guys the wins. Can we start our off season now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, yeah. So before we go to, we were kind of rambling at this point. I did promise because I opened up the floor to questions.
Oh, that's right.
On Twitter. So first question is from my roommate / girlfriend. she asked, "Will there be more live streams?" Yes. I'm thinking I'll do live streams mainly just during third periods
in the close games. Yeah. It was electric. Like, I had a great time.
Yeah, I was having a good time. So probably just be doing live streams during third periods, especially if it's a close game. But I don't know if I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to go to a watch party at some bar. So,
oh, very nice.
So, you know what? We might be doing a live stream there. Live streams will continue to happen as long as the Rangers are in the playoffs, and it'll just be third period and stuff. I'm not going to do the whole game. And then we got a question from Tom C, a long time listener.
I haven't heard from Tom in a while.
I
know, right? Welcome back.
And he asked, was Pittsburgh's defense that good? Was the ice that bad? Or is Panarin hurt? I don't think Panarin's
definitely
hurt.
Definitely not just, the last one.
I just don't think he played as well as he should have or could have.
Yeah.
I don't think the ice was bad in New York. I mean, like, it was tilted. It got tilted once Pittsburgh started, you know, playing like Pittsburgh. And I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is that good. I just think the Rangers, I think we've been saying that the whole podcast, I think it was just Pittsburgh's experience and Pittsburgh's just being able to control the game as experienced playoff team is what did the Rangers in. I mean, the Rangers played a really good first period, but they were maybe a little too fast and a little too aggressive. And I know I've said, you know, if they play like that every game, they'll win. It's like you kind of need to a certain extent, but you need to also preserve energy and make sure you're making smart plays and the right plays. And I don't expect them to continually run and gun guys for 60 minutes, but
yeah,
play aggressive, play smart, skate hard, and you win games. They only did that for 20 minutes.
Yeah. So yeah, spot on. Tomorrow will say a lot, I think. I think tomorrow will really tell us a good story.
I think we got a good series on our hands. I think the Rangers will hey man,
how many games till next podcast? We're recording on the 10th or 11th. We got 3 games till the next pod. Oh man.
Series might be over at that point. Who knows? Ooh, McAvoy's throwing punches.
Classic. Oh, yeah. I think you're somehow ahead of me now. Oh, I guess he's all right. Speaking
back
of that.
And forth, yeah. He's got what seems like a giant cut on his fucking face. It looks like it hurts. Yeah. All right. We'll wrap it up now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, number of the week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go with 40. Oh, man.
Who is that? Was that Teravainen?
It's Teravainen. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the replay. He got whacked by Forsberg.
Holy fuck, dude.
Number of the week is 45. There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Islanders to wear it. Starting with Ken Leiter in 1985. Played 5 seasons for the Islanders, only wore it that year, had 139 games and 50 points. Good for Ken Leiter. Danny Lorenz then wore it for 3 years, played 8 games, and had 1 win. All right. Marco Kiprusoff, which is kind of sick because that's Mika Kiprusoff's brother. Did not know he had a brother that played in the NHL, nor did I know he played for the Islanders. Kind of cool. But he played 27 games for the Islanders, scored 0 goals, 6 assists. Did not have a goal in his 51 NHL games, but pretty sick that the brother played there. Next up, Aaron Asham, former Rangers and Islanders legend, played 300 games on the island and 33 games
in the city. 47 goals for the Islanders. I mean, for a enforcer, 105 points in 300 games is pretty good. So good for Ashram. He had some skill. Nate Thompson was up next in 2009, played 82 games in the Islanders, scored 3 goals. 2 were against Boston. I don't know why I remember that game so specifically, but they were his old team, and he scored 2 goals, and it was electric. After that, we had Anders Nilsson. This list is crap, by the way. Anders Nilsson, who played 20 games played for the Islanders, 9 wins, 9 losses, 2 OTLs, 0.898 save percentage, so not great. He's now with Ottawa, I believe. Yeah, he's with Ottawa. He's forged a little bit of a good career for himself, so good for Anders Nilsson.
And then last but certainly not least, the legend from last playoff run, 3 games played with the Islanders,
Braden Coburn. What an impact player he was.
Totally worth a 7th-round pick.
But yeah, that is the number of the week. Nice and all quick that, and easy.
That Svechnikov hit Lindholm, and Lindholm's not playing anymore.
So was that? Wait.
This was in the one of the first or second periods. Yeah,
I thought,
sorry. I should have prefaced that. Yeah, I saw a clip on Twitter while you were going through that. Yeah. But yeah, all right. So we'll wrap it up, and I'll show you this clip after we record. Thank you for listening to the show. Sir. Welcome to the playoff episodes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hopefully you tune into the live streams when I'm doing them and
watch
and
the live streams.
They're electric. I was really drunk and kind of something else last night, so they're a good time. So yeah, make sure you tune into those. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Make sure you give it a 5-star rating. Write us a nice little review. Share it with all your fans, your friends, your family, everyone.
Any personal fans you have.
Exactly. Follow the podcast account on Twitter @FromBroadToBell. Make sure you tweeted us and DM us and just shoot the shit with us on there. And then if you want, follow our personal accounts too. But that's about it. Yeah. Kevin, anything else?
Nope. Just watch the live streams. Tune in.
Watch the live streams. Let's go, Rangers. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.